It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine shares some science headlines with us, including new technology that could let scientists edit plant genes to protect against disease. First, Governor Walker visited Riverdale High School in Muscadet earlier today to sign a bill that will increase funding for many rural schools. The bill includes what's known as sparsity aid, which aims to target more money to districts that cover large areas with low populations. It would bump up this aid from $300 per student to $400 per student in those districts. The bill also increases the revenue limit for lower spending districts. Kim Kokel is executive director of the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance. Kim, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be with you.
Before we get to the specifics of what was just signed here, can you talk about the situation that a lot of these rural schools found themselves in when it came to funding?
Well, I think around the state right now, funding is very tight. This last budget helped a little bit with increase and has gained some funding back for us. The sparsity aid and the low revenue were key issues for our organization. Moving forward as we went into this last biennial budget. We thought everything was going to get through the Joint Finance Committee, and then at the last minute, some things changed, and both those issues were pulled in that final budget. But fortunately, we were able to get both those bills to come back around, with separate bills now, which the governor did sign today. With a few minor changes from what they originally were.
Let's break it down now and start with the sparsity aid side of it, Kim. It goes up from $300 to $400 per student, but tell us what sparsity aid is a little more and what it means.
Basically, sparsity aid will, for districts that are 745 or less, with a population of 10 students or less per square mile, can qualify for sparsity aid. And so what this bill does now, instead of those schools were getting $300 per student, they will now get $400 per student. So for a district that has about 300 some students, that's going to be about a $30,000 increase for their budget, which is a positive. One of the areas, as I said earlier, the original language that was in the budget that the governor had first recommended to the Joint Finance Committee also had a second tier that we had requested to increase that enrollment up to 1,000 students instead of 745. And the reason we asked for that is we've got a number of districts that meet all those qualifications of 10 students or less per square mile, but have, 2,000, 2,500 students, 1,500 students. So a lot of districts that could use that sparsity aid, are still locked out, but again, this is a good step. Actually, at the signing today, I did talk a little bit to the governor about, be nice to get back to some of that original language he put in there, and actually even looking at if we could, remove that enrollment requirement. So the districts that do meet the formula with that 10 students or less can all qualify.
Do those kind of districts face unique costs? I imagine right off the bat, transportation, if you're busing a wider area, picking up a few students in each place, that alone has got to be an additional expense for those districts.
Yeah, I mean, the busing alone is phenomenal. I'll use Rhinelander for a perfect example. They've got 2,464 students, six students per square mile, and they're busing, 385 square miles. Merrill's another one, 2,700 kids, 4.7 students per square mile, and they're busing close to 600 square miles. So, you just look at that square mileage, and you can already look at the increase that you're, paying for maintenance and fuel costs.
Talking to Kim Kokel, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance, looking at two new pieces of legislation signed by the governor related to financing for especially rural schools. Kim, let's get to the other side of that now. The revenue limit increases. Now, this affects schools, low-spending schools, they're called, ones that were kind of locked in because of a previous law at a lower spending per student than other districts, right?
Correct. Yeah, these are districts that were being very frugal back in the 90s, And when the revenue caps came in and weren't lifted like they were supposed to be, if everybody remembers back to the 90s, the revenue caps were actually supposed to sunset, I think, within 5 years of when that first went into effect, but it never happened. So these districts that were being very frugal back in the 90s got locked into this low rev. Many of them are, only spending like $9,100 a kid right now. And so, you know, with inflation and costs and things like that, it's been really hard for them to keep up. And so this bill really, is a good step for, helping those low revenue districts. And you know, will allow them, you know, by the year 22-23 budget, to increase up to $9,800 per student.
I've heard, Kim, that schools in rural areas where the population overall, not just the student population, but the population is declining, it's also aging, there are fewer students. They're facing particular challenges because you still have to heat the whole school. You can't just heat a percentage of it. Do these changes affect those schools, those rural schools with declining populations in particular?
With the lifting that low revenue, it's going to help those districts where maybe they might have had to go to referendum for some of those issues. And in some cases now they may not have to go to referendum because of this bump that was given through this bill. I'm not going to say that it's going to stop all referendums because I still think we got a long way to go on funding before that's going to happen.
Yeah, the lawmakers have formed a blue ribbon commission on school funding to like look at this big, complicated picture, not just for rural schools, but for the whole state. What other kind of changes are you hoping for when it comes to funding for rural districts?
Well, a couple things that I think we would like to look at is, right now, a lot of the funding formula is based on property tax, and what we run into, especially in a lot of our rural areas, districts look like they're rich districts because of the property value, because it's recreational property, when in reality, most of those districts, the people that are living there year-round and the students going to those schools are high poverty. And so they're, because of that, using the property value, they're not really getting the money that they should get.
We'll leave it there for now, Kim. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
That's Kim Kokel, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance, talking about new legislation signed into law today, raising funding for some rural schools around the state.